Blog Talk Radio.
Ah, cabrón. What's wrong with these people pushing the wrong buttons over here? Real quick for the people listening, so you're here. You're at UWC Radio, and it's been quite some time since we've been back on the air, but so much to talk about. But my co-host is with me. I just got on. I'm so far behind. I have nothing written down. I'm slacking. But we got my man, Fred Gabriel. Fred, are you there, my friend? Can you hear me? Fred, can you hear me? We're live, brother. Oh, boy. All right. Hang on, everybody.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging.
I don't know what's happening, man. People dropping and stuff like that. It's been an ongoing problem with this blog talk. So I think I got Freddie back on the line right here. Let me see if we got him. It's turning. Hey, Freddie, can you hear me?
Yeah, perfectly good.
Okay, good. I don't know what the heck is going on, man, with this stuff. It could be your host. I don't know for sure, to be honest with you. But anyways, I was talking while I was trying to get you back on. It's been such a long time since we've been back on. It seems like forever, because we still haven't even had a chance to talk about blood, sweat, and tears or whatever. So now at least we get a chance to. So real quick before we get into that and talk about that, you know, and stuff like that, what's been going on with Fred Gabriel, man? I know you did the show Blood, Sweat, and Tears or whatever. What's been going on since then? Any more shows, or have you been training? What's been happening since then?
Training, not so much training. Unfortunately, due to life and work, it took me away from training for the last 2 weeks. But I'll be returning back on this Tuesday. I actually had a match last night. Drove all the way to Brawley, California. Which, for those who don't know, Brawley is down there by El Centro, aka Mexicali. It was an all day trip. We left around 10 o'clock in the morning, and didn't get back to about 3 o'clock last night.
That's a long drive, man.
It definitely was a long drive.
Who'd you work out there?
This up and newcomer, good guy, good kid. Well, we say kid because he's legitimately a kid, but he's a 15-year-old young star named by the name of Kid Spinks. That kid's got a lot of potential. He definitely brought his A game. He actually slightly gave me a minor concussion, which was all good.
Wow.
I mean, I'm not upset at it. I told him, you know. He brought it. He brought his A game. I can't argue with that. There's nothing about having a good match with somebody who's willing to go with you toe to toe. You know,
yeah,
and,
comes to territory.
Exactly. You know, I'm not afraid to get hit. Kid was not afraid to get hit. You know, we took each other to a limit that I think the fans went home happy. I got a lot of good feedback from a lot of fans saying, wow, you guys were intense in there. And, I mean, I like to have intense matches. You know, I like to go in there, leave it all in the ring because I never know when it's going to be my last match.
Yeah, no doubt. And speaking of that, I know we got coming up towards the end of the month, the big show for Albert. Did you get invited to that or whatever? Because I got to be honest with you. I didn't hear nothing from nobody. I mean, I didn't hear from Little Cholo, Mariachi, Rudy, anybody. So I have no idea what's going on, what the show's happening, nothing. So I think Nicolette and I are just going to go, you know, I want to contribute. So I'll probably pay for my tickets and stuff to go just to make sure since it's going to go to Albert. And now then, what about yourself? Have you heard anything about it? What's going on or what's happening?
To be 100% honest with you, I have not heard much about it other than the show.
Yeah, that's bad.
I did offer my services in any form or capacity, even if it's refereeing for the night.
And who'd you talk
honestly,
to?
Honestly, I sent a message to Cholo, to Little Cholo.
Yeah.
I said, hey, man, whatever you need, I'm there to do. Like, I understand that from my understanding, he's in charge of the show. Albert is really has not too much to say so on it. But I also know that he's getting a lot of people hitting him up. And he's having a hard time replying to a lot of people just because the outpour is so crazy insane. I mean, people from all over are contributing. I mean, you have stars from you got guys from AEW reaching out. I know Scorpio Sky is gonna do a rare appearance, even though he's under contract with AEW. I don't know what capacity he's doing, but I heard he's supposed to be wrestling. So and.
You still there?
To raffle to raise some money. Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. It just cut out for just a second.
Okay. I know Pentagon, like I said, he's raffling one of his matches. I even heard through the grapevine that there's some stars, possibly from WWE, who are even going to contribute some merchandise, limited edition merchandise and stuff like that for raffles. So the outpour is insanely good. I mean, I think that's what it is. It's just he hasn't had time to reach out to anybody. With the amount of time that we had, I mean, he's trying to pull strings together. I know that his original venue bailed out on him, so that wasn't good. I know he's been struggling to find a venue, but he found a venue with John De La O's place. I know they were trying to find something bigger, a little bit more, you know, better. But unfortunately, the original venue backed out of the deal. So I know that there's a lot of stress going on with all that good stuff.
Yeah. Well, it comes with, when you decide to take on that responsibility, I mean, it comes with the territory. That's what happened to me. You know, I've been working on the show for forever. I had everything put in place. Everything's ready to go. Three people bailed on me immediately. Two of them went to go do Richard Garcia's show or whatever, which is cool. I mean, I have let's just put it this way. I have no problem with people trying to better themselves. I get it. I get it or whatever. But when you commit to somebody and then just say, oh, I can't make it or whatever, okay, and then I see them on the flyer for somebody else, that's, to me, that's not cool. Just be honest with me. I mean, I'm a grown man. Hey, bro, I'm being offered more money over here with this guy, or I think it's a better promotion. I can do better at this promotion or whatever. I have absolutely no problem with that. So that's the only thing I don't like. But that's what happens. Things, people take off, they leave, they something. Okay, and also with this, I had a big push for Power Baby for Blood, Sweat, and Tears. I don't know what happened. They told me his brother died or whatever, and I didn't hear about this till maybe an hour and a half before the show started. You know, before the doors were already open, whatever. So you got to switch gears, move stuff around and control and all that. It just comes with the territory. So, anyways, I mean that's we're gonna talk a little bit more about that too, because I got Chaz coming up in about 15 minutes. Oh, what about that? Forgot to introduce the guest. So Chaz Herrera is gonna be coming up at about the 7:15 mark. I'm gonna talk to him a little bit about that because he became my superstar for that show. And then at about 7:45, we're gonna have Guyan from Los Chivos come on because he's got his show finally coming. Lucha Libre Alliance is finally opening back up to over there on Florence in Maine. So we're gonna talk a little bit about that now. Since then, I've got, dude, for the 2 to 3 days after the show. I mean, I just nonstop, my phone was ringing and calling, and people, well, now all these people want to get on because it did really well. It did a lot better than we expected, you know, money-wise and people-wise and stuff like that, so we're going to continue to grow. Now, the feedback I got is, why don't you let Freddie and Alas de Oro continue in the tag team tournament or whatever? And I said, absolutely. I mean, we're having the underdog bracket or whatever, and I would be more than happy to put them two together if they want to continue on to the – because what happened was, since Chaz had to take over for Power Baby, he's going to continue on in the tournament in the B bracket or whatever. So first, before we continue on, are you good with that, Freddie Gabriel?
Wow, that's really big. I this is the first I hear of it. I'm excited. I mean, if the opportunity's there and the stars align, obviously, I know that I haven't talked to you since the show, so I don't know what the date is for the next show, so I have to make sure that all that good stuff is good to go. I don't see why not. I mean, I had a good time teaming up with him, even though he decided to chop me in the middle of our match, which I looked at him and I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
We're on the same team. I think you got a little overzealous, a little overexcited, but
got crazy.
I mean, it's funny that I'm going to be on the show today, and I'm going to be talking to my mortal enemies from the other side of the ring, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But it's just the way things worked out. I mean, it got, you know, a little bit. People like that whole idea that everybody gets a second chance. You know, because Diam and his partner went on, Tony Reyes and Biggie Biggs went on or whatever. So there's a lot going on, you know, to continue on in the tournament. So we sat down, we talked about that today with, hold on 1 second, Sparkles. So we were working on the brackets today and stuff like that. But what happened is, what's going on real quick before we get to Chaz, the venue is moving. They're moving from Long Beach to Hawaiian Gardens. So as long as it takes for them to get everything out of that gym and move it over to Hawaiian Gardens, but we don't know if that's going to be at the end of August or at the like mid-September. So we can't even come out with a date yet, but everything, the wheels are in motion, and that's what we got going on. So pretty much the same.
So the Metroplex is moving?
Yeah, the gym's moving to Hawaiian Gardens, not too far from the Long Beach Town Center. But and from what Eddie says, Eddie Abkoff, the owner, it's a bigger place. He's going to have more room. He's going to have a spot to where if you want to do indoors, you can. If you want to keep it outside, you can, where he doesn't have to move any machinery or anything like that. So that it's going to be huge. It's going to be huge. It's just a matter of when they have everything set up and ready to go. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to continue talking about what's happening with UWC. We'll talk a little bit more about some of the upcoming shows in SoCal. And I want to talk a little bit about Ring of Honor. They had the pay-per-view today, and I got to see a couple of the matches that were, I'm going to say, borderline outstanding. You can't go wrong with Flamita and Rey Horus, but I really like Flamita's new dark gimmick or whatever. It's pretty cool. So let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll get Chaz Herrera in here to talk a little bit about Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Hang on, everybody. Say underrated, but there's a lot of wrestlers that I see, and when I watch them, like, man, this guy's got something here. If we do this and that or whatever, I think we could do really well. So that's what kind of happened at the show. There's a couple of people said, man, if we put this dude in here, it's going to work well with this, and it turned out to work really well. Now, real quick before we get Chaz in here, got my man Freddie Gabriel over here with me. is it me or is it that these women are at a premium? Because Nicolette and Candy Girl went at it at the show, and I mean nonstop since they've been gone. People calling me, hey, can we get Candy Girl and Nicolette over here? Can we do this? Can we do? And it was quite a few. I mean, do you real quick before we get Chaz in here, Freddie Gabriel? Do you contribute that to just the people want to see the girls, or just the lack of women wrestlers? I mean, not a lack, but you know, you just it's harder to find them, you know, as easy it is to get the men in there. What do you think?
I think I think it's the fact that people want to see the girls. You know,
yeah.
It's definitely the view of women wrestling has changed tremendously through the years. It used to be I hate to say this, but I mean it's kind of true. But it used to be about the tits and ass, right? And that's all
mm-hmm.
guys wanted to see. But
mm-hmm.
but with this whole new revelation of how hard these girls have been working to show that they're not just something to look at. It's about their athleticism and everything. It's gained
yeah.
the interest of a lot of people. I mean, there was a lot of people who slept on people like Bayley or Mercedes Martinez. You know, girls
yeah.
like that can actually go in the ring, toughen it out, take the hits, take the blows. You know, it's not just about being a valet. It's their athleticism. So I think the interest
yeah.
has grown because it's like, oh shit, like there's a fucking chick fight. Sure, it doesn't affect the fact that some of these, I say some, you know, I'm not gonna say all, so I'm gonna be genuinely and hard honest, so I get all the heat I want. But
yeah.
you know, some of these women are very very attractive women, and you know the guys have obviously are there to see a show, but
yeah.
for the purest of the wrestling fan, you know they want to see a good hard action. I mean, even in MMA. I mean, if you look at the way it was, I mean, one of my favorite fighters of all time, and I feel that who never got her shot in the UFC, which is a shame, was Gina Carano. I was a huge fan of Gina. And
Hey, hang on a second. Sorry about that. I hit the wrong button.
What's going on here?
I'm telling you, man. And you know what? Chaz didn't text me back, so I'm certainly hope that he's going to pick up that phone. Hold on a second. Goodbye. Hey, Chaz, you're live
so
on WWE's Arena. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
Hang on a second, Chaz. We're just finishing up this last thing here. I got Freddie Gabriel with me, and we're talking a little bit about women, and we're talking about how. But real quick, Freddie, and since Chaz is with us, we're going to talk a little bit about what happened, you know, at Blood, Sweat, and Tears. But he can chime in on this. He, on my Tuesday show, I had a girl named Jackie Cadillac. She's a Olympic wrestler. She qualified for the seniors, and she went all the way to the Olympic trials, and then, you know, she didn't make it to the next round or whatever, and she retired. But she has a boyfriend named Patrick, and what happened was we were talking a little bit about that because there's a girl named Mackenzie Dern who is a UFC fighter, and when she posted on her Instagram that she was pregnant, she lost 50,000 followers. So for some reason, these men that follow these women or whatever, once they hear, like, they got a boyfriend, they got married, they got whatever, all these followers just start dropping. So I don't know if they think it's somewhere in their little pea brains or whatever that they have a chance to be with this person or that they – or whatever. But – and this is – I'm going to let you guys – I'm going to be honest with you. The girls that I have, I don't like them saying that they have a boyfriend or they're married or they're whatever because you kind of lose – some of your male audience. It sounds stupid or whatever, but it's just the truth. And it's just what happens when they start putting that out there. Is that kind of what you're talking about, Fred?
Yeah, it's definitely the truth. I mean, a
yes.
good example, I mean, I noticed it. I'm going to say Paige Zenderbelt.
Uh-huh.
I think I said her name wrong.
Paige,
I mean,
Van
her. She poses Paige Van Zandt. I mean, she poses
mm-hmm.
a picture of herself in a bikini. And on Instagram, and don't get me wrong, she's a gorgeous, gorgeous woman. I mean, I'd take a punch for her, you know? But you look at the likes on her picture, and it's like 100,000 likes. And then you look at one when she posts one with her husband, and it's like 200 likes.
Right,
like,
right.
No, like, I do feel that you're 100% right, that there's people out there who think they have a chance, that think they're going to meet this amazing fighter, and that they're going to be like, hey, how you doing? Like, nah, it don't work that way.
Yeah, they don't want to think about, like, you know, that they're married or they have a husband or whatever. But anyways, real quick for the people listening, you're here. You're at UWC Radio. Don't forget you can check out UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com to check that out. But we got my man Fred Gable over here and on the line with
sorry.
Giselle Chaz Herrera. Hold on a second. Let me bring Chaz in.
Chaz. Oh, damn.
Okay, go ahead.
I was going to say, hey, ladies, I mean, if you guys are think the same way, I don't have a girlfriend, so if you want to give me 100,000 likes, just go ahead and like the post.
Hey, you gotta do what you got to do. But anyways, Chaz, real quick before we get into talking about blood, sweat, and cheers and stuff like that, did you get a chance to see the Conor McGregor fight last night?
No, I didn't watch it, but I heard what happened.
Dude, is it...
I was working last night.
Well, dude, that's the third fight, I mean, the third time, or the second time that it's happened in three fights. And it looked like, you know, he was throwing kicks, and Dustin was checking him. So I think it was already cracked, but then when he stepped back and put his weight on it to kind of turn and pivot, it just snapped right off the bone. I mean, you could see that thing. And then when the round was over, he lifted it up, and then, you know, it was just dangling or whatever. So they called the fight. But don't get me wrong, Dustin was whooping his ass before that whole thing. You think, real quick before we get into talking some wrestling, you think that's it for Conor? Or you think he – because the dude's worth $180 million. What do you need to fight for anymore? Why wouldn't you just go, you know, go? $180 million is a lot of money. I don't know if that's to you guys, but to me it is. Real quick, Chaz, what do you think, man? You think it's just a thing that you don't want to go out on a losing note or whatever? What can it be? What's that mindset?
Yeah, I think that's mainly what it is that he wants to go out in a blaze of glory. He wants to go out on a high note, and that's normal. You know, like we talk about, I keep comparing this to Ronda Rousey because I had a conversation yesterday about the fight, and I predicted that Conor could lose, not because I have anything against them or don't like them. I respect anybody that gets into the cage. I think anybody that gets into the cage and trains and achieves what Conor has achieved or even Poirier, achieved a lot just by getting to where they are right now. So win, lose, or draw, I got respect for them. But I still predict the possibility of lose. And it's like Ronda Rousey, for example. She also achieved quite a bit in her day, and when she was at her prime, she was at the top. She was doing stuff that no one had ever done before. The main point is that the competition just evolved beyond what she was willing to evolve into. She had those two final fights. There were two losses. Obviously, she lost to Holly Holm in the first one, and then the second loss that she had was to Amanda Nunes. So that's a tough way to end your career. It's a very tough way to end your career because, you know, not only did she have that first loss and get knocked out, which, you know, it's a potential to happen to any fighter, but then to have that second fight where she ended up, it was reaffirmed that perhaps she had been her style had the fighters around her had evolved beyond it. That's a tough thing for a fighter to take and just kind of, you know, take the ball and go home in that state. And I think maybe that's where Conor is. He's moving into his 30s. I hope that I do hope that he makes a comeback, and I do hope that he goes out in a high note. But at the end of the day, I think that might be why somebody who has so much money would continue to fight. But you know. The thing is that he could, like you said, he could just go home with his $130 million and just wrap it up. If there was something to prove. Sometimes you got to kind of, like, sink to the bottom to find your edge again. So it's like Rocky III. That's the thing I keep thinking about. It's like Rocky III where he lost his edge and then he has to re-find it. And sometimes it takes, you know, something like this happening to find that edge again. So that's my perspective on it. I think that hopefully he finds his edge again.
It makes sense, you know, but to me, it's just, I don't know what it is with these people, because when Ronda first came out, her judo was just on point. She would close the distance, she'd toss you, and then she'd armbar you or whatever, you know what I mean? But then I think she got that knockout under her belt, and she liked that feeling of the knockout, and then she just wanted to continue. But then you run up against somebody like Holly Holm, who's totally wrong for her. And bam, she got high kick, boom, she was out of there. And then she thought, well, that was a fluke, and did try to do the same thing with Amanda, and then that's what happened to her. there or whatever. I mean, it's just weird because, like, even Yoel Romero, you know, Olympic caliber wrestler, why does he want to stand? Close that distance. Take him down. That's what Nurmagomedov does. He don't care what your game plan is. He's going to close the distance. He's going to take you down. He's going to be heavy on you. So even if you do get out of it, you're going to be gassed beyond whatever. So he could care less if the people want to see knockouts or whatever. He's just coming in to win. You think that I'll take this to the group before we talk about blood, sweat, and tears. You think that's it? You think once they feel that power of knocking somebody out, they want to do it, or they want to please the fans or whatever? Or real quick, Chaz, what do you think? Because to me, if I'm somebody like Yoel Romero, Ronda Rousey, whatever, I'm closing the distance, getting you to the ground, and trying to pound you out. Real quick, we'll go to Chaz first. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's something exciting about having that level of dominance in a fight. I have never personally knocked anyone completely out, even in my martial arts experience, competitive or just training. I have never knocked anyone out. But I can imagine that you're on a grand stage and you get that all that adulation and all that attention for having such a dominant win, it could get to your head. But at the same time, we know that Ronda ended up with a coach that started kind of getting in her head, telling her that she was a great striker and pulled her from exactly what she did, which was her judo base. I actually trained under the instructor that trained her for the Olympics, Sente Blinky Elizalde. He's the one that got her ready for the Olympics. And, she did start trying to strike. She happened to get paired in a match against a much superior striker I would imagine that she was being told she was a great striker. That's what you see in the training footage and everything. And it just happened to be that she got completely outclassed. So maybe she was going for blood again, and maybe that's what she was hyper-focused on that. And had she stuck to her game plan, like could be, perhaps she would have ended up having a better showing at that fight. That's just the thought process. I mean, if something works, why change it, you know?
Yeah, it would have even prolonged her career. Now, Fred Gabriel, I'm a huge Nick Diaz fan, because they're going to come and you're going to get your money's worth. They're going to throw hands. So that's what Dana was saying yesterday. He goes, in this sport, people like to see, you know, an ass kicker. That's just, you know, the demographic. You know, people who are, that's why they like Conor. That's why they like Nate. You know, Nick Diaz, people like that. And that's what draws money. So real quick, Freddie, what do you think, man? You think that's it? You think they want to be like those type of people to be considered a badass or whatever? Or do you think, I mean, give me your thoughts on that, Freddie.
I mean, I have two different views on this. Real quick, on one view, I do feel that it's the pressure of the UFC and Dana White that makes these fighters want to stand when they shouldn't be standing. Ronda Rousey would be a great example. I mean, let's face it, Dana White, if he sees the fighters boring, he starts talking all this crap and talks about down on his fighters instead of promoting his fighters like he used to do. I mean, let's face it. Do we like when people lay on their back like a Gracie and all that? No, we really don't. But we want to see guys slug it out. But come on. I mean, I look at it as, if you don't want me on my back or you don't want me on the ground, then do something about it. You know what I mean? Like, don't change your style. As far as the other half of the question, like, you got guys like the Diaz guys that like to scrap, but that's part of it. That's who they are. That's the way they were born. I mean, they got that backup of jiu-jitsu that, you know, like for example, Nate Diaz. He's a guy that does the likes to go in there and slap and box. He's got a great boxing game, but when he feels like he's in trouble, he goes back to what he's known for, and that's his jiu-jitsu, and then he's choking dudes out. I mean, you know, like, honestly, in my opinion, Conor McGregor, I've never liked the guy. After last night, I got the most respect for him last night. Like, I saw the clip. I didn't see the fight. I saw that he was still fighting and his leg snapped. But that dude was still willing to fight you from the floor. Like, the dude has heart. And then while he's on the floor, he's talking more shit to Dustin. And, you know, there's almost going to be another melee, and he's on his back. Like, hey, that dude to me has my respect now. I want to continue to fight. I don't care if he gets his ass, he doesn't. That's just the passion that he has. I mean, you look at boxing. Hey, what's going on over there? I hear dogs, and I'm hearing all kinds of crazy chaos going on over there.
Is that you? Because I got nothing over here.
Unless that's Chaz, that's not me. I got no dog.
Chaz, you got your nipples over there?
I'm feeling alone.
But to your,
I'm hearing all kinds of craziness.
To Fred, like I said, the
point that I was trying to say was, I mean, look at him boxing. You had Arturo Gatti. That dude went to wars. He never won a lot of his fights. He won a lot of his fights, but people love that style of fighting. They just want to see two people go in there, lay it on the line, and they get respect. But sometimes it doesn't work for a lot of people. That's not going to work for a Damian Maya. That's not going to work for a, you know, another jiu-jitsu guy. Jacare. I don't even remember his name right.
I call him Jacare, but it's Jacare.
Yeah, Jacare. You know, the stand and brawl is not their style. Those guys are fucking great submission artists. And that's what they're known for. Hold on a second.
I gotta take a quick break because I'm falling a little bit behind. Let me take this quick break. We'll come back. We'll finish up this conversation. Then we'll talk to Chaz about what he did at Blood, Sweat, and Cheers, and then what the potential might be Chaz and Alas de Oro Chaz and Jaguar de Oro to possibly take on Freddie Gabriel and Alas de Oro in the B bracket. So let me take a quick break. We'll come right back and we'll set all that up. Hold on, everybody. For the people listening, you hear, UWC Radio. Don't forget, you can check out UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com. Got my man Freddie Gabriel over here, and of course Chaz. We call him Uncle Chaz, but now he's going to be El Primitivo and things of this nature because he had such a great showing at Blood, Sweat, and Cheers. So we're going to talk a little bit about that real quick. We'll lay all that the MMA to rest because you know they're just making insane amounts of money. The bonuses were $75,000. For this show, and it's just money that's just ridiculous, and it's just getting crazy. But real quick, you know, in the aftermath, we haven't had a chance to talk about it, but I met with Manny, the owner, today, and his brother, Mario, who's going to start. It's gotten so to where we need his help because we got so much going on and different things to take care of. So real quick, what happened was, you know, it was myself, Uncle Chaz, and Nicolette against Freddie himself, Alas de Oro, and Candy Girl. So it got crazy. I don't know what Chaz is out there fighting with both of them. Candy Girl and Nicolette are all over the place. I'm just waiting for them for a break so I can get in there and smash Candy Girl and we can get out of there. So then all of a sudden, you know, I hear, well, Jaguar's not going to – I mean, Power Baby's not going to show up, blah, blah, blah. And then Chaz and Fletch Fugaz are getting into it in the back. And I'm like, what's going on? He's talking smack because this and that. Why don't you put him in this match? Forget this. If he's not here, too bad. And Chaz is like, hey, I'm totally down to do double duty. Put your money where your mouth is. Next thing I know, I'm like, dude, let's do it. So Chaz ends up doing double duty. It's him and Jaguar de Oro against – Guyam and Fletch Fugaz. So I didn't get to see what happened. I just said, look, man, if you guys want to go at it, do it. And it turned out to be the main event of the show. So real quick for the people listening to us on UWC Radio, tell me what happened because Chaz comes in the back. He goes, I don't know what's going on. They're throwing stuff and we're fighting and all this stuff. I don't even – and he walked back to the back and walked right by me. And that's the last I saw of him. So, Chaz, real quick, tell us exactly what happened, how that whole thing came about, and what happened in that match.
Well, you know, Fabi, I'm always down to fill in any spot that's needed. If the spot's good enough, if the money's good enough, I'll hop right in. And when that opportunity came up, I don't know if Fletcher heard about me taking the spot and he was pissed that he didn't get the bye into the next, you know, the finals of the tournament or what. But it's always the vets that get upset when the newer guys, which I've been around 7 years. I'm not necessarily a newer guy, but a lot of people, sometimes they don't know about you if you haven't worked with them before. It's possible that he just got upset that I hopped right on the opportunity to hop in to take a spot in the main event because in his mind, he's just some fucking I'm just some guy here, like showing up out of nowhere, and suddenly I'm in a main event. But, I mean, over the 7 years, I have never once said, you know what, I have to stop training, in shape. I've been putting in the work the whole time. So when opportunities come my way, I jump right on them. And I've noticed over the years, people get upset when you're the one that's eager to do that. They try to, like, you know, they say that in a bucket, you put a bunch of crabs, the crabs try to keep the bucket, rest of the crabs will try to pull it down. And it's some haters. It's some haters stuff. So it could have very, very well been that Fletcher Bogaz was like, hate us because I decided to climb out of the bucket and put myself in the spot. I don't care, though. You know, I took the spot, and it turned out the way it turned out. I got no regrets about it. I would do it again.
Well, that's a good analogy that you put right there with the crabs and the buckets. But so two things happen after that. Manny's like, call such and such or whatever so I can get them paid so they can get out of here or whatever. And I'm like, cool. So I can hear Guyam and Fletch Fugaz talking. Now, Dan Gable, who is huge, you know, in collegiate wrestling or whatever, I've seen his interviews and I've read his book and stuff like that. And he would tell his wrestlers, I don't care. I really don't care if you win or lose. I just want when that guy comes off the mat, I want that guy to say, I would never want to wrestle that guy again, ever. Because, you know, it's just, you know, you put him through so much or whatever. So he said, win or lose, when that guy comes off the mat, I want that opponent to say, I never want to wrestle that guy again. So when they were walking to go get paid, he's like, I don't want to get in there with that guy again. I don't know where the hell that guy came from. And Fugaz was like, well, he was trying to step up to the plate. So I was trying to call his bluff or whatever. So I'm not going to say specifically that they said that, but that was the vibe. Like, hey, bro, that was a little bit more than we expected. So that turned out to be really well. So now with the feedback that I'm getting, because Alas de Oro wanted that spot. And I guess Fletch said, no, man, Chaz thinks he could step up. Let's see what he's got. So you ended up – so what the people have been wanting now and the emails and the messages that I'm getting, they said, well, since you screwed Freddie and Alas in that match, why don't you put Alas de Oro and Freddie Gable versus Chaz and Jaguar de Oro for the B bracket to get that last spot, you know, for the upset. So that's what everybody wants. Real quick, we'll go to Freddie first. What do you think about that match? Freddie, are you willing to take on Alas de Oro again for a partner to take on Jaguar de Oro and Uncle Chaz?
I mean, I'm not one to turn down a fight. So like I said, I'm always down and doing, you know. Hopefully the cards are played right and you know, everything works out where I can be at this show determined, ready to go. And you know, I got a little respect there for Chaz Herrera. He tried to not only you know, beat me down, but he tried to end my career by throwing that forearm, making me fall on the stairs, almost making me pop my elbow out.
Yeah,
you know, like, hey, what's up with that, Chaz? Like, what's going on there? Trying to end mad people's careers? What's going on?
I turned around and I just saw Freddie hit those steps, and I went, oh shit, because it almost looked like it cracked him in half. Hey, but when stuff's going down, Chaz, you know that's what happens, right?
That's just the way it goes, man. It's nothing personal, you know.
That's the way it goes. It's so personal. I felt like you were trying to end my career. It was very personal, sir. It was very.
Every match could be your last. You know that. Every match could be your last.
Well, we can settle that.
Single match you enter into, there will be your last. I wish you weren't like that. I wish you could do this forever, but.
Yeah, we
can.
You know, I hate to say it, but that's the way it goes.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. We talked about that today in the meeting, so we will put that in the B bracket. Jaguar de Oro and Uncle Chaz versus Freddie Gabriel and Alas de Oro. It'll be like the Battle of the Golds or whatever, since we have Alas and Jaguar. And then, of course, the crazy people, Chaz and Freddie Gabriel. So I think the people are looking forward to that. They would like to see that. And plus, whoever can advance into the tournament and go. I don't know. I saw it today in the meeting too. You know, they have that really nice, kind of like how Japan has those big trophies. It's similar to that, but it's a cup, you know, with Pistol Pete's picture and stuff on it. So that's, you know, hopefully that'll be ready and you can see it when we do the next show for the second round of the big Pistol Pete Memorial Tag Team Tournament. So anyways, I got to keep moving because I got Guyam coming on in about 3 minutes. But real quick, Uncle Chaz, you got a big show coming up for Lucha Libre Alliance. It's going to be yourself, Jake Rebel. I call him Jake Rebel, but I can't remember. Black Metal and Is it Fire Roman? What's that? Do you know the people who were in that match, Chaz?
Fire Roman. Yeah, I got that right here. Let me pull that right up. But, that's going to be the main event. Lucha Libre Alliance is going to be,
I'm kind of taking on Lucha Libre. So look at this. This is going to be a slamming. This is going to be the some of those showstoppers. It's going to be Fletch Fugaz and El Primitivo, who is Chaz himself, who's the prick, because he's so, like, when you see him, it looks like caveman, like he just stepped out of the cave, and Warhawk, that three, versus Black Metal, Friar Pelon Roman, and Malice. That's going to be the main event over at Lucha Libre Alliance, which is coming up Sunday, July 25th. So you want to make sure we got Guyam coming on to talk a little bit about that, about moving on the tournament. Plus, he's going to talk a little bit about this. Now, real quick before we get him in here, did you get a chance to, did Guyam come up to you and say, hey, man, you want to prove what you can do? I'll put you with these guys and go, because now you and Fletch Fugaz are actually going to be teaming.
That's going to be an interesting thing, and we'll see if maybe the vibe is a little different that night. Maybe, you never know. The thing I've learned in my life is you stand up for yourself, you stand your ground, and the enemy that was trying to, like, get you out of there now all of a sudden respects you, because they know that you're not going to get pushed easily. And so for all I know, I'm going to show up, and he's going to be super friendly. Maybe he'll hand me a beer or something like that and be ready to work as a team. And that's what it is, you know. Wrestling's tough. That's how it goes sometimes.
Yeah, but that kind of shows, Freddie, would you agree that even though they've been doing battle, you kind of get that respect from them and say, hey, look, man, well, maybe if we team up, we're going to really do some damage against these guys or whatever. You kind of feel that vibe too coming there, Freddie?
Honestly, I don't even know what the question was coming from, because for some reason my phone went dark and I couldn't hear this whole conversation, and I just came back in as soon as you said, what do you think, Freddie?
Okay, well, I'll pose that question to you when we come back, because I got to take pics. So real quick, for the people listening, don't forget, check out Chaz Herrera. Big things coming. He's going to continue on with UWC in that tournament, and he's got the big show coming up Sunday, July 25th for Lucha Libre Alliance. If you want to check it out, it's right up the corner of Florence and Main. Doors open at 5:30. Actually, I think they open at 5, and then the first match is at 5:30. So that's one of the first shows that's going to be happening over there since the whole COVID shutdown and everything, and we look forward to it. So I'll definitely see you up there. All right, my man, Uncle Chaz?
I dig it, Fabi. Totally.
All right.
I'll see you there.
I'll be in touch as soon as we have everything put together. I'll let you guys know what's happening, and then we will see Uncle Chaz, the El Primitivo, over at Lucha Libre Alliance. Hey, a million thank yous for coming on, Chaz. Freddie and I will be right back after this message. Hang on, everybody. Freddie, what I was trying to say when we were talking is, you know, because Fugaz and Chaz were going back and forth in the back, you know, talking about put your money where your mouth is, blah, 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 whatever. But then to me, it seems like when they said, well, look, we're going to put you up against Jack Metal, Friar Roman, and Malice, he said, well, you know what, this dude's crazy enough, let me put him with me. And you know, they're really going to be in trouble. I kind of got that vibe. You think that's what's happening?
No, I think that's not going to happen. I mean, I didn't even get to the scuffle in the back, so I'm like trying to stay away from them because, you know, trying to end my career, you know. But but no, I mean, it should be a good match from what I'm hearing from the tension that was going on. You know, you got Chaz in there trying to put his money where his mouth is. Went out there, did two matches, man. Like, that's the utmost respect that I can give anybody. Hey, man, you went out there, you did two matches, and you still want more. So let's see what happens. But unfortunately, for some reason, You were in the middle of asking a question, and then the phone went completely silent. I thought you hung up on me.
You know what? I'm gonna have Manny, the owner and the proprietor of UWC, give Blog Talk a call because we have sponsors. You know, by the way, Paul's Photos and of course Yards After Contact that you know provide for the show. So we gotta have them give him a call and let them know you know what's happening. I have all new equipment. You know, my laptop is the same, but I have all new equipment. I just haven't had a chance to meet up because I've been. Dude, Sunday is my only day off, but. You know, I meet with men, and we got all this going on, and we're looking for a new venue. They want us to do a show out in Seal Beach. They want us to do a show out in San Bernardino area, out there, Ontario area. There's so much going on that I don't even have a chance to hook everything up or whatever. So we're going to work on that. But let me give Guyam a call, get him in here, and we'll talk a little bit more about Blood, Sweat, and Tears and about his big shows coming up. Hopefully Freddie Gabriel will be your new host. And then...
I'm
we can have Cody Rhodes to the buttons.
My brother.
Hey, Guyam.
What's
can
up,
you
my
hear
brother?
Me? Real
yes,
quick
I can.
For the people.
Loud and clear.
Perfect. You're here. You're at UWC Radio. Don't forget you can check out UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com. And we're live. I got my co-host over here, Freddie Gabriel, also known as Freddie Havoc. And on the line with us right now, Guyam himself. Guyam, how are you, my friend?
How are you, my brother? I'm very well. Thank goodness. I worked out real hard. We were in the gym yesterday and Thursday, and it's just been just preparing myself for the 25th.
You know, I went to the gym early this morning, too, and I hate leg day, you know. But now, you know, since I had my hip replaced, there's a machine called the abductor machine that you use to help strengthen that specific area of the hip. So I've been working on that, and this was me after the gym today. Hold on.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That was me walking out of the gym. But
well, brother, you've always been a hip. You've always been a hip guy.
Yes, I'm a hipster. But
that,
anyways,
was you, that was you during our match.
I want to talk a little bit about your big show coming up on July 20th, because there's a huge
yes,
buzz.
Sir.
We just got Uncle Chaz, El Primitivo, we just got finished talking to him, because, you know, people have been dying for you know, the arena in Florence and Maine to come back because
yes.
That's like the hotbed of Lucha Libre. But I want to talk a little bit about that. But I got to tell you, man, there has been such a buzz from Blood, Sweat, and Tears about this, you know, Pistol Pete Memorial Tag Team Tournament. Well, first of all,
sir.
You know, they want to know who the opponent's going to be for Guyam and for Fletch Fugaz. I'm pretty sure it's going to be it's either going to be Sean Black and Jason Green, or it's going to be Guy Cool and Maligno, I think. I can't remember. We went over the brackets today. But, you know, so that's the second round. And then if you guys
brother,
win that, you can go ahead. Go for it.
That I don't give an F who it is. Lesha and I, we will go over. We will knock everybody out. Why? Because we're the best tag team there. Okay, then I don't care if it's all these guys. They're tough guys. I respect them, but Fletcher and I, we're just so synchronized. I mean, we're just kicking ass.
Yeah. Well, this is what I'm talking about. After everything was over, you know, they said, "Well, look, man, you know, the bright spot is even though these guys, you know, got a loss, and you have that upset." Or if they could win out, which what do they call it, run the table. If they can run the table, they might get a shot at the winner. So everybody's looking forward to that. But they keep forgetting you guys still have at least two more matches to win the cup. So you know once you disposed of Jaguar and Chaz, is the immediate mindset. Well, look, man, we're ready for the next round. Or whatever, just like you said, you don't care who it is or whatever. You don't worry about the opponents. You just worry about yourself, right?
And let me tell you something, Bobby. You have the best talent. I mean, these kids are great, okay?
Right.
But Bugas and myself, we're the papa. We're the papas of everybody in these guys.
Yeah.
And so we teach them. We're going to old school them. We're going to teach them what it is, and that's the way it is. Fugaz and I, we're unstoppable. And thank you, my brother, for letting me express myself, and I'm so happy.
And but let me tell you, Mico, on the 25th, you are on a show, cabrón.
Yes, yes. I want to talk about that because, you know, it's funny because and Freddie and I were talking about that before because he's gonna there was such a backlash for the word that I'm looking for. They said, look, why don't you put Freddie Gabriel and Alaste Oro together? Put them in that B bracket and give them a chance because they got screwed in our match. So, and I said, absolutely. So they're gonna be in the B bracket, you know, and hopefully if they can run the table and they can get somewhere out there too. But this is what we were talking about because Fletch Fugaz and El Primitivo, Uncle Chaz were going at it in the back. And that's how that all came about because I was going to put Alas in there, and then they started going at it, and Fugaz was like, well, put your money where your mouth is, dude. And before I knew it, I said, okay, you know, you guys got it or whatever. So what we were talking about before we brought you on is, like you said, there's even though, you know, you guys went at it, there was a mutual respect. And when it came down and said, hey, look, man, you know, Pelon Roman, Friar Juan Roman, Black Metal, and Malice, yeah. You know, they think that they're really something. So why don't, you know, Fletch Fugaz, Primitivo, and Warhog, if we get together, we could do some damage on these dudes. So there was a respect. So when I saw this, I thought, dude, that's going to be... War is a good word for it because it's going to be.
Let me tell you this, Bobby.
Go for it, Bobby.
On the 25th, it's you and Hades. How this?
Yes.
And it's Malino and Jaguar. Okay. Now I know you and Jaguar have bad blood.
Yes.
I know you guys have already got at each other for a long time.
Yes.
And this guy is a workaholic. If
yes.
it works out, I mean, he's insane, okay? He runs in the hills of San Gabriel Mountain.
Right.
He works out in the cage with a fucking, what do you call it?
Shooters?
MMA.
Yes.
Yeah, he just goes bananas. He's a banana. And
yes.
he's so ready. I worked out this week, Thursday and Friday, at Medina's gym, which is the best gym for professional wrestling, and that
right.
is in Bell Gardens. So all you folks
right.
listening out there, you want to go to get ready to Lucha Libre, go to Bell Gardens, Enrique Medina gym. Okay. And so he says, I'm ready for Favi. I want Favi. I go,
right.
I want you. I go, I'm worked up. I'm worked up. He's forming to come out. He wants Fabiano
right.
so bad.
Well, this is what happened because we kind of, you know, he was getting a little crazy at the show. I understand they had just, you know, dropped the match to you guys or whatever. So he was heated in the moment. And he's like, somewhere down the road, we'll meet up and I'm going to show you whatever. And I said, hey, man, look, I'm trying to be cool with you or whatever. So I had my gear ready. Like wrestling gear, you know, ASICS wrestling shoes or whatever to show this guy,
yeah.
hey, man, I'm not just, you know, I can wrestle. But now I switched everything back to boot stomping, ass-kicking gear because I gotta give him a beating, man. You know, and Maligno was like, hey, go ahead.
Well, I'm going to let him know that. We work
sure.
out in the gym together, okay? We work out every day. I'm going to tell him, cabrón. I'm going to tell
him
that you're going to give him a
Let him know.
Oh,
and
really?
Then the thing is, you know, Hades and I teamed up over there in Laguna Hills, and we wrestled Power Baby and Rancho Camacho, and we gave them a beating. So Hades knows. He's familiar. He knows, you know. So it's going to – but some of those barn burners, my friend. I am so – and plus
Woo!
Getting back to the arena in Florence is huge. So we definitely – so yeah, please let him know. But the question I have for you – real quick, let me run this by for the people listening.
Yes,
you're here, UWC Radio. We're talking to Guyam, talking about his big show coming up, Lucha Libre Alliance. I got Freddie Gabriel over here. We're going to get to him in just a second because I got some questions for him, too. Now, here's the thing. I know
yep.
I get it, dude. We lost the last show before this whole pandemic went down. You know, it was myself and Graffiti Kid against you and Vito. We came
yep.
up. I don't know what the hell happened with Graffiti Kid. He just went nuts and started – throwing stuff and fighting, it turned into a big melee, and we ended up losing because he lost his hand. So now you're bringing in Johnny Starr and Atomic. or whatever. Tell me a little bit about that. I know Atomic. I'm not too familiar with Johnny Starr, but tell me about these guys, because I know Atomic himself has been every time we go, dude, I'm telling you, we're coming for those belts. Coming for those belts.
Johnny Starr and I go way back, back to EWF.
Yes.
And we've been going at it since, Jesus Christ, what, 20 years ago? We've been going at it. I have scars in my chest. Because he always comes up with his goddamn mirror because he thinks he's so beautiful. And then he smacks it over your head. And I have a scar here in my chest. This guy is as tough as nails. Now, Atomic, oh, my God. My respect to Atomic. He wants the titles back. Right now, his buddy, Twisto, cannot wrestle right now. He's out of commission. He has a bad injury in his ankle. So he won't come back till at the end of the year. But Atomic and Star Boy, those guys are, let me tell you, they are formidable opponents. And, but with Vito, my Italian brother, and your Chivo, we're gonna defend our title. Hopefully, defend them with honor. Because these guys are tough. These guys are tough, brother. They're tough as they come. Johnny Starr, he's a wily, experienced wrestler. I respect him so much. We've been going at it for years.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a tough match, man. That's for sure.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
And that card's huge. Everybody, I mean, and whenever, especially there at the arena, there's such a fan base that's loyal. I mean, I was at other shows. And they're like, hey, man, when are you going back to Lucha Libre Alliance and stuff like that? So we look forward. So for the people listening, don't forget Lucha Libre Alliance. It's back Sunday, July 25th. It says 5:30 p.m., so that first match starts at 5:30?
Yeah, right at 5:30, the first match. And that's two great wrestlers. That is Red Eagle versus
Commando
1.
These kids
are... I mean, they're so hungry that they could give it all, and that's beautiful. That's what it's all about. You remember probably when we started out in the first opening matches, how we were.
Yes.
We were so happy. Yep. And you want that opportunity. So they're in the first, and then it's Volcan Senior versus Mr. California. Shit, that's a main event anywhere else.
And with California, you don't know, he might bring thumbtacks, he might bring a baseball bat. You never know what's, or he might just come and wrestle.
Oh,
it just depends on how he is that day.
Mr. Kelly is a thug, okay? He's a thug.
Yeah.
I respect him, but I always have to keep my back, watching my back with that guy.
For sure. Now, real quick, because I'm running up against the clock.
He's worked out with everybody in L.A.
Yes.
It's a good, real good match right there.
Yeah, I definitely look forward to it. But now, real quick, before we get out of here, tell me a little bit about this live music with Las Hermanas Esparza.
Not a choir. There's four sisters, and they sing. I mean, it's angelical. These girls
are such.
And it's all Mexican style.
That's what I was gonna say, because I don't see an accordion, I don't see a tuba or a big guitarrón or anything. So that's what it is. It's just a cappella. They just sing, or what, do they have backup music, or how is
that? They're the soundtrack.
Yeah,
they're gonna sound beautiful. And they're beautiful little girls. They're beautiful. I don't want you to get too close to them, because you have a
bad vibes rubbing up. Well, don't worry. I'll stay in the back. Real quick, also, what about?
It's a great for Mexico, okay?
Well, you know, dude, you got Enigma that's the main man that's making sure all that stuff doesn't happen. So you know you ain't got to worry about. But real quick, how's Enigma doing?
I was just speaking to him right now. You see him right there in the flyer. This cabron is so worked up. he wants to clean up some things, and his main thing is to clean up after Jack Fancy.
Yes.
I got to keep my eye on that boy. That guy is nefarious kind of guy. Yeah. He says, I got to keep an eye on him 100%.
I'm laughing because he went out there. Jack Fancy did something. I can't remember. Something stupid or whatever. I was getting ready for my match, and Enigma comes through the curtain. And he goes, that Jack Fancy is the devil himself.
Absolutely. He is the devil.
So he's like you said, he's got to constantly keep an eye on him or whatever. But real quick, for the people listen, make sure you check it out. Sunday, July 25th at the Arena of Florence in Maine. You gotta check it out. Real quick, is there a phone number or anything, a website or anything that they could call to check out how, you know, ticket prices and availability and stuff? What is it?
Yeah, the telephone number is area code 562-896. 3954. Area code 562-896-3954. Get your reservation. You could be comfortable.
Yes. We definitely look forward to that big show coming up. And we also look forward to you guys moving into the next round, as well as, hey, if everything goes, you know, if the stars are in a line, it might be Fletch Lucas and Guyam versus Alas de Oro and Freddie Havoc in the finals. We don't know because, you know, that they got that upset bracket, the B bracket. You know, they have to keep winning. If Freddie and Alas can run the table, which means no losses and win out, they have a good chance at it or whatever. But there's still a lot of matchups going up, so we definitely look forward to that. So, Guyam, I will definitely see you on the 25th. Look forward to it. Please tell your Los Hermanas Esperanzas or whatever. Please tell them to have a hymn ready for Alas de Oro, for Jaguar de Oro, because it might be his last match.
Woo!
So he can go out on a singing note.
Believe it. In my next workout, I want to tell him word by word, quote by quote, what you just said. So you better watch out, Fabiano.
Please,
Jaguar is a tough guy, right?
He got so mad at me because we're talking about that at the show. We're talking about cowboys, and I go, you know what, man? You guys are the that's fake cowboys. I go, I'm a real cowboy from Memphis, Tennessee. And he's like,
woo!
What the hell are you talking about? I said, yeah, I'm a real cowboy, not from Esquinapa, Sinaloa. Where I go, from Memphis, Tennessee. And he goes, well, have you ever been to Memphis? I said, I haven't been there, but that's what I'm from. Man, you know what, Fabiano? Get out of here, man. I don't even want to talk to you anymore. I just got to get in his mind, man, so he knows what's up or whatever. So we definitely look forward to that. But anyways, Guyam, a million thank yous for coming on, man. It's always a pleasure when we get you in here. We definitely look forward to the big Lucha Libre Alliance show. I look forward to seeing Enigma, of course, because he's my main man. So we'll see everybody there. Guyam, any last words before we let you get out of here? Can you hear me, fellas? All right, hold on. Hey, Freddie, can you hear me? Okay, everybody dropped real quick, so I'm going to take another quick break. Everybody, hang on. Put this one right here. Might be the same one. Hey, Freddie, are you there? Can you hear me?
I'm here.
Hey, dude, the thing keeps dropping, so I don't know what the heck. So we'll try to wrap it up real quick before it cuts off again. But anyways, real quick before we get out of here, I mean, I think if you guys can run the table, Freddie, that would be a good matchup. You and Alas de Oro against Gayam and Fletch Fugaz. Give me your thoughts on that. Would you, you know, because they're different. Gayam is more of like a technical type of wrestler, and then Fugaz is like a powerhouse. He's just going to come, boom, shoulder block or whatever, and try to get you out of the ring. So would you switch up your training at all, or would you just say, look, man, this is what I do. I'm just going to come forward straight ahead and tell Alas to watch my back, or give me your thought process on that if you ended up meeting with them.
I mean, here's the bigger the biggest problem is the styles. Styles are very different. I mean, this is something that I'm not very used to. Like you said, you got one that comes in with the very upfront, I'm going to bulldoze you over. The other one comes in with a technical style. You know,
yeah.
Alas has his style, and then myself is, I'm kind of a hybrid. You know, I can mix it up a little bit here, a little bit there. You know, honestly, if we get the opportunity to go down that far, it's going to be interesting because, like, the styles are so different. How do you prepare for a match like this when it's something that yeah, you're not used to? I mean, what do you train for? I mean, all I can do is go out there and do the best I can.
Yeah, because this, when it's me, this is what I do. And because especially when you team with somebody like Uncle Chaz, who's just legit crazy, I just go, dude, just follow me. And we'll double team out to him. Get in here, double chop this dude, bam, and we'll just go from there. So to me, that's what I kind of think you would do. You know, you would tell Alas, hey, man, just follow me. It might turn into a brawl. If you see somebody coming from behind me, you cut them off or whatever, just so you know that you're not going to get double teamed or whatever. So that's what gives it a good surprise element to this tournament. You might see Alas de Oro and Freddie Havoc versus Gayam and Fletch Fugaz, or you might see Freddie Havoc and Alas against Sean Black and Jason Green, or Biggie Biggs and Tony Reyes. I mean, it's just there's so many different things that can happen that it's pretty cool. So Manny and I are working on that. We talked a little bit about today. We tried to match up a few, but we can't really do too much until we get that venue set in stone. We're steadily trying our hardest to make it at the end of August or the beginning of September. We want to get it in there before the kids have to go back to school or whatever. So as soon as we get everything set in stone, we'll set the matchups, and then we'll go from there. So we look forward to that. It's kind of cool because then at least Freddie and Alas, you know, if they could run the table, they could still win this thing. You know, if they can get together and get on the same track or whatever, that's what makes this tournament, you know, pretty cool. They might meet up with them, or they might meet up with Fletch and Gayam in the semis to get to the finals. So that even gives you more incentive to, you know, to do well, to so that you can get rid of them and move on to the finals or whatever. So we definitely look forward to that. So big thank you to Uncle Chaz for coming on, and of course Gayam and Freddie Havoc. I think it's pretty cool. I think you know, you guys can keep moving forward. You got anything else coming up besides UWC?
No, like I said, the only thing I got coming up is I really don't have anything coming up right now.
I know there's a
VWE show this weekend on this Friday coming up.
Yeah.
I highly suggest everybody going there because you got Mariachi Loco versus Chris Nasty and a Hair,
yes,
versus Mask steel cage match. It's not been changed to a steel cage match. So there's a lot of bad blood there going on, and it's not going to be one anybody's going to want to miss. I guarantee that one.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a few surprises at this show, and then obviously the following week you have the Amazing Junior tribute show that we're doing to help raise money for him,
yeah,
and his family after the tragedy, and that's it.
I'll put the information for all that coming up because we really do want to get as many people out there as we can for Amazing Junior. I mean, it sucks that happened, so we want to make sure that we can do as much for him as possible since he's got a family. He's got two of the most well-kept kids I've ever seen. I have never seen them kids without a haircut, cleaned up, clothes ironed, whatever. Those are like two of the most well taken care of kids I've ever seen in my life. So I
definitely,
you know, look forward. Yeah, let's get that place back, man, so we can help them out, you know, make sure we help out a fellow brother in the world of wrestling. So Freddie, I will see you next Sunday, or if anything comes up major between now and then, hopefully if we can get those matchups done, we can announce them here next Sunday and we'll be ready to go. So with all that being said, for Freddie Havoc, who hopefully will be taking over the show pretty soon, I think he could do it. I mean, I got to be honest. I think he's got the – as long as we can get a producer like Cody Rhodes, who could just run the equipment better than me. All Freddie has to do is handle the hosting duties. I think he can do it. So we look forward to that. So Freddie, how you feel about that?
Man, the pressure's on. I don't even know how I feel about that, right?
All right, man. I'll talk to you next week. Anything major comes up, I'll get with you between down. All right, my friend?
Yeah, thank you for having me. Good again.
All right, we'll see everybody here next Sunday. Don't forget UWC Radio. See you then.